There are a number of highlights in the study of Romans 6, 7, and 8 as we look at the victory that we have in Christ, but the subject we're going to look at this morning is certainly one of the most encouraging ones based upon the previous truth that we have looked at. A preacher from hundreds of years ago said, "When thou feelest most indisposed to pray, yield not to it, but strive and endeavor to pray even when thou thinkest thou canst not pray." Good advice. Many folks struggle not feeling like they can pray or wanting to pray. Another preacher said, "Pray when you feel like it, for it's a sin to neglect such an opportunity. Pray when you don't feel like it, for it is dangerous to remain in such a condition." There is a huge struggle for every believer in the matter of prayer. In fact, when you read accounts of how God leads his saints to really pray, many times for Christians it's a mystery almost. I love the story of Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China. He recounts that when he was 15 years old, his mother was absent from home, and so he sort of had a holiday and didn't have to worry about things. And so in the afternoon, he went into his father's library to find some book which to just while away the hours. He turned over a basket of pamphlets and selected from among a gospel tract which he thought looked very interesting. He sat down to read the little book in an utterly unconcerned state of mind. "Little did I know," Hudson Taylor says, "that at the same time, what was going on in the heart of my mother 80 miles away. She rose from dinner with an intense yearning for the conversion of her boy, and she went to her room and turned the key in the door, resolved not to leave until her prayers were answered. Hour after hour, she pled for me, until at length she was constrained to praise God for that which his spirit taught her had been accomplished. In the meantime, I've taken up this little track, and while reading was struck with the sentence, 'The finished work of Christ,' the thought passed through my mind, 'Why does this author use this expression?' Immediately the words, 'It is finished,' came to mind. 'What was finished?' I replied. 'A full and perfect atonement for sin. Christ died for our sins.' As light flashed into my soul by the Spirit, there was nothing to be done but to fall down on my knees and accept the Savior and his salvation and to praise him forever." When his mother came home a fortnight later, "I was the first to meet her at the door," he says, "to tell her I had glad news." He said, "I can almost feel her arms around me now." And she said, "I know, my boy, I have been rejoicing for a fortnight." Now, we all rejoice in that, right? But would you like to be able to pray like that? Yes. I think all of us would. And it doesn't have to be a mystery. And one of the great passages built upon all that we have in Christ tells us of the help that we can have to pray like that. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we are dead to sin and alive unto Christ. Sin does not have to have dominion over us because we are identified with his death, burial, and resurrection. Tremendous truth that the old man has been crucified and the man of sin has been rendered ineffective. And if we will choose to depend upon God, we can have regular victory. Then chapter 7 speaks of the fact that no longer are we under the duty of the law. The law has become us because he who wrote the law and who is the law indwells us, and the law is written on our hearts. We are married to Christ, and we can live with the great liberty and joy of keeping the law from the inside out and to be able to have the victory that chapter 6 talks about. And then chapter 8. We've been looking at the deliverance from condemnation and bondage through the Holy Spirit, and that if we live according to the flesh, our minds will be deadened and our will twisted. But we're alive spiritually. The body is dead. It's foolish for us to live according to the flesh, which, of course, will destroy us. We need to realize we are grown-up heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. This means we still do live in this world. And there are present sufferings, but a glorious future is ahead. And the Spirit of God will minister to us if we depend upon Him. And we can grow into genuine faith now before we even realize all that Christ has done for us. And now we get to verse 26 of Romans chapter 8. Likewise, based upon all of this, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We have seen in this chapter the great weakness of our present existence and the great glory of what Christ has done for us. But this matter of prayer is one of those areas that acutely shows us, just in a very vivid way, our weakness. And so I want to look, first of all, that the Spirit of God, He knows our needs. The Spirit is our intercessor. He is the one that will enable us, and He knows how needy we are. Folks, believers in every area of our life are helpless without the Spirit of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We're unable to do anything that pleases God through our own power. Now, folks, let me just say this. We really have a hard time learning this. Think of a world that's going to hell because they think they can earn salvation. And you don't get over that mentality just overnight once you get saved. The Word of God has to be impressed on our hearts, and the Spirit of God has got to break us, and we've got to understand that we in ourselves cannot please God, and that nothing that will have impact for eternity can be done through our own strength. Oftentimes we quote from the Lord's teaching of the apostles on the abiding in Christ in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. But that's a hard thing for us to really come to grips with. But folks, as we're going to be looking at, we've got to understand this in particular in this matter of prayer. This is not a human exercise. We pray because of human need. We must exercise our human will. But it is the Spirit of the living God that will enable us to be able to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, because we are unable to pray without God's quickening. The illustration that Dr. A.J. Gordon gives of the famous World's Fair in Chicago is very, I think, applicable to this. In the distance, he saw a man in a bright, gaudy, oriental costume who was just laboring, turning a crank of a pump, and a mighty flow of water was coming out of it. He was really impressed by the man's energy, his obvious physical conditioning, the smooth movements of it. I mean, this was an amazing thing, so he wanted to go and see it. Well, getting a little closer, he realized this man was actually made of wood. Instead of turning the crank and making the water flow, the flow of the water was actually turning the crank and therefore making him go. And it's just a good picture of the out of our belly flows rivers of living water. We must cooperate, of course, and we must understand truth. We must make decisions by faith. But it is the working of the Spirit of God that enables us to accomplish the great things that God wants us to accomplish. There is the flesh that battles against that. I'm telling you, we are all self-focused. It's just part of how we're made because of the of our sin curse in our life. And Satan knows how to push our buttons when it comes to these key areas. One thing that Satan cowers in front of is a believer who is led by the Spirit on his face before God, getting a hold of God. There's nothing that Satan can do to stop what is prayed about. So what he has to do is stop the one who's praying. And that's why when I see folks get on the ground of faith in this matter of prayer and they start growing, I realize I've got to pray for these folks, because it is going to be a battle. We've had here several times of commitment for the hour with God. And then I've had the privilege of doing the prayer seminars in a number of places. And so I take a section of those that made the commitment and pray for them. Well, these years later, I'm still praying for every one of them, because I figure the need is probably greater now than it was when I first started praying for them. There was that resolution, the three-week challenge, and so there's a number of you right here, and I'll periodically just mention it to you to try to remind you about that I am praying about it, because there is a spiritual battle. As Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." Without God, that's not our natural predisposition to pray. In fact, it's common among American Christianity, you've heard this before, that prayer is like a spare tire. You only get it out when your tire blows, you know, when there's something bad that happens. It's nice to have it, and you got it in your back pocket. My friend, that's a horrible way for us to think about prayer. Prayer is an ongoing relationship with a God that loves us. He wants us to know him. He wants us to understand his heart, his will, so that through our intercession led by the Spirit of God, his will can be accomplished and the mighty work of Christ can go forward. That's what prayer is all about. But our flesh does not like to depend upon anything else but itself. And we need to realize we're just helpless to pray without the Spirit. Going back to our text here, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities," our weaknesses, "for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Now the word "help" is just a tremendous word. It has the idea of God coming. It has the idea of being the comforter, coming alongside, bearing that burden, and meeting the need. And it has the idea of a person coming alongside another to take part of a heavy load and help him bear it. And the problem is, folks, we don't have the strength or ability to do it, and we don't know how to pray. We don't. That's what it says right here. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. I'm telling you, folks who have not had the joy of allowing God through the Word of God and through times of prayer where they've humbly allowed God to work, when they haven't done that, prayer is really a hard thing to figure out. You know, when I hear some of these debates about you pray in God's will, what does that mean? Is it going to just happen? I mean, all of that is human thinking. Prayer is understood as you take the time to pray and let God work in your heart and you fellowship with other believers, you begin to understand what the Spirit of God will do to bring you to faith, to understanding, to know the heart of God, to know the will of God, and to be able to live a life that is fully dependent upon prayer, in which it is unthinkable not to pray. See, all of that comes with a commitment to really surrender to the Spirit of God. You will never know how to pray unless you're right with God. Now, you'll pray sometimes out of help, which is a good prayer, but you'll not learn how to pray until he's in control. This matter of being filled with the Spirit is not a small matter. And I'm telling you, the human mind will never understand how to pray in and of itself. And we get way off on all kinds of things and then get disillusioned and all whacked up. You know, for some reason you may have this deep sense that you ought to have a Rolls Royce, and you get other people to pray about you. I'm sorry, you're not going to get a Rolls Royce through your prayer time. Okay. And you say, well, you don't know. I might be able to. But see, that misses the whole point of what prayer is about. And God wants us to come to a place to understand. So we need the Spirit of God. Jude 20 says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, through the agency, the power of the Holy Ghost." And he knows that we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, this is not a perfect illustration, but when children first, as just little bitty kids, begin to start, you give them crayons and you give them a coloring book. It's really interesting. You know, they come to you and they're so excited about what they colored. Well, the choice of colors and how it's colored and it's being all over the page instead of being within the lines, it's cute and you like it and you put it up on your refrigerator because it's your grandchild or it's your child. But honestly, how beautiful is the picture? It's purely in your eyes as the beholder, right? And so you're thinking, well, I hope one day I'll be able to honestly say, oh, that's wonderful. Right now, it's a little bit of loving dishonesty, you know, as you talk about how wonderful it is. You've got such talent. It's a bit of a lie when you talk like that. But they may have talent, but it's not showing. Well, they begin to start choosing the right colors. And they maybe you'll help them, and they start getting the idea that it has to be within the lines. And then they realize how you color. There's a way to texture it to be able to make it look good. And as they mature, they keep learning the different nuances of how to color their coloring book. And there's that day when they come and you look at it and go, wow, that's beautiful. Did anybody help you? You shouldn't have said that, but well, that's almost a compliment. And you, no, Daddy or Papa, I did that all myself. And it is beautiful. Well, spiritually, folks, we start praying, and God loves to hear us. Beauty is in the eye of that wonderful divine beholder. He loves us. And we're all outside the lines. I mean, we got the wrong colors. I mean, some of my early prayers, how the Lord put up with them, I don't know as I think about it, you know, and my whole wrong perspective. But, you know, God did bless because I prayed. And he encouraged me. If I can say this reverently, he put it up on his divine refrigerator. You know, the incense of the prayer of God's people goes to the throne of God. But the Spirit of God began to start teaching. The only thing I wish is I could have learned more quickly. As time goes on, I think all of us would feel the same way. But my friends, the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, if you will make prayer a priority, will start opening your heart and mind to how God operates in prayer. And my friends, it's striking the privilege we have. You see, when you hear preaching on prayer, oftentimes it's duty, or it's failure, or it's mystery. There are so many unanswered questions, and it's a hard thing to do. It just seems like such labor to it. That's why when we introduced the hour a while back, we just simply tried to take some biblical truth to help us all color in the line, so to speak, to be able to take the facets of our relationship with God and let the Spirit of God take that emphases and deepen and help us understand what all is involved in a genuine relationship with God. Well, leads now to the second point. The Spirit intercedes on behalf of our needs. He knows our weakness, and he's going to guide, direct, and work in our life. But we read in the latter part of verse 26, "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, himself, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Now, in this process of living in this life in which the earlier verses talked about the suffering and the weakness and so forth that we have, but the great sonship and the great privilege we have because of Christ, the Spirit of God will teach us to pray and enable us to pray and pray on our behalf, all of those things, as we do what? Pray. Now, let me get you to understand this. This part of the prayer, of this verse, is not going to make any sense unless you're praying. You can't learn how to pray without praying. The Holy Spirit's not going to just come along and zap you. Now, he's going to convict you. He's going to work in your heart. But there has got to be a deep-set submission to God and a desire for his will and an allowance of the Spirit of God to have control, and then realize that everything that's important to be obtained for my life, my family, the ministry, for the cause of Christ is going to be obtained through prayer. It's at that point you're going to start learning how to pray. So you've got to decide to pray. That's why I don't have any apology about encouraging people to make commitments about prayer, because you got to start somewhere, and you got to ask God to enable you to keep that, and you will grow in prayer. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us based on our needs. You see, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, who is manifesting Christ and enabling us to go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy in time of need. You know, the Lord Jesus does know our weaknesses. And we read in Hebrews 7:25, "Wherefore he is able also," Jesus, "to save them to the uttermost that come to him by him, seeing he," Jesus, "ever liveth to make intercession for them." Now what happens, folks, is as we pray and allow the Spirit of God to work, our great high priest, who is ever making intercession, I quote that verse every day, the Spirit of God, as we open our hearts and we ask God to lead us and empower us to pray, the Holy Spirit joins with the great Savior, the one that loves us, who's making intercession for us. And there is a tremendous work being done on our behalf for the sake of the will of God to be accomplished, and a tremendous union is occurring there at the throne of grace. But I want to tell you, folks, the Holy Spirit is working all the time on our behalf. The Lord Jesus is praying for us all the time. But if we want this to happen, you got to pray. If you get nothing from this message but this, these verses don't claim unless you're praying. I mean, God's working. He's convicting. He's illuminating. He's doing everything he can to help us. But friends, to understand this mighty work of the Spirit of God interceding for us and joining with the one who is at the throne in victory, we've got to understand that we've got to be led by the Spirit to pray. And we've got to make that decision. And I'm telling you, folks, we are then entering into the very throne room of heaven. And when you have the Spirit of God joining with the Savior to make a petition to the Father, you've really got the right ones on your behalf. I mean, it's a done deal. Every so often, I wish I would think of it more than I do, but quite often, actually, I'll think of, wow, as the Spirit's leading in my prayer time, I'm actually in the throne room. I've got the Holy Spirit enabling me. Jesus is praying for me, and the Father is on my side. Abba, Father, I can say to him, as we saw earlier in this chapter, I'm telling you, I've got the three persons of the Trinity involved in my prayer time. That's powerful. See, the problem is we just don't know what to do. That's understandable. We're like little kids. But you know, a little kid doesn't get embarrassed that they're a little kid. They have to be a little kid before they're a bigger kid, before they're a teenager, before they're a young adult, right? You just got to go through the process. It's all right to feel like a little kid. I still feel like a little kid in prayer and all of these things. But I'm telling you, I want to learn everything I can learn about fellowshipping with God. And he will help you. Don't say, you know, I don't know what to say. I don't understand it all. It seems over my head. Listen, you're just the right person. The Holy Spirit, once you start talking to the Lord about it, he's already interceding on your behalf. He's already working. And that's what he wants to do to enable you, to help you, to guide you, and to work in that. So he will enable us. He gives wonderful leadership. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As you begin to pray, you will begin to sense, just like you do when you go out witnessing or you are counseling or you're making decisions, you realize God is working. And that's what will happen in prayer, and he will guide you in prayer and enable you to pray. And he will start allowing you to see the divine side of it instead of the human side. Yesterday at the retreat, we were having some testimonies, and I gave the little illustration. A woman asked G. Campbell Morgan, "Do you think we ought to pray about even the little things in life?" And Dr. Morgan, in his typically understated British manner, replied, "Madam, can you think of anything in your life that is big to God?" See, the point is, we get all whacked up because of our human perspective. But when you're praying as you ought to, and in the Word as you should be, all of a sudden your perspective changes. You begin to realize what's really important. You begin to realize what is truly God's biblical will. You begin to be impressed in your heart about things that are important, things that are not important. God begins to show you the selfish part of your life praying amiss. You begin to understand that you have been acting like a child. You're way out of line in how you're praying over here, yet God is blessing because you are praying. And God will just continue to work, and the things that seem so big come into the right perspective. Listen, when you take time with God, everything all of a sudden seems doable. Because God is so big, and our problems are really very small. I know some here probably feel like, you know, I don't think God can solve my problem. That will kill you because it is just deep unbelief. There's nothing in this room that God cannot solve and work out and use for good, as we're going to see next 2 weeks from now in this great flow of scripture. There's nothing that's too hard for God. And when you get that heart to believe that, everything changes. You see, folks, in the enabling of God, what he begins to do is get us to think like God. Now, again, you have to be praying, but what else do you have to be doing all through all this time? In the Word, hearing the Word, obeying the Word, letting God work. That's why in the hour with God, we have the time to let God speak to you, because you've got to think biblically, or you can get out of line, so to speak, in your praying. And the Spirit of God will teach us the heart of God. When you pray the will of God, you have a hearing. 1 John chapter 5 makes that very clear. And when you have a hearing, you know that you're going to have that petition answered. My friends, when you take time to pray and really honor God and search out the scripture, you will come to a place more and more that God will begin to show, this is my will, and I want you to claim that. You don't just name something and claim it. You let God claim it, and then you start really believing it, because it's his will that you want accomplished. You want to see God work. And God will more and more guide you. The Spirit of God will help you and make intercession for you. You can tell that he is empowering you, he is enabling you, and he himself is communicating with the throne room of God on your behalf. I'm telling you, when you have somebody that has standing intercede for you with somebody that has great position, you have a good opportunity to get that request answered. And you have someone with great standing. But here's what I want us to see. He does it with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's only used here and in Acts chapter 7, verse 34. I have seen, this is Stephen preaching and talking about the history of Israel. I have seen, and I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. The Spirit of God understands even more than we do the deep needs that we have. And so when we allow the Spirit of God to work in our hearts, understanding how this whole universe groans because of sin and how our life groans because of the consequences of sin, the Spirit of God comes into a full helping position to intercede, and to intercede, I think, two ways. There's some discussion about what this means, but I think it's one of those great truths. There's both angles to it. There's first of all the fact that the Spirit of God is so sympathetic, as we find from Hebrews 4, that Jesus is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus Christ literally cried when he was here on this earth, when such as Mary and Martha were crying. He groaned within his spirit. Well, if the Lord did that, then it ought not surprise us that even though the Holy Spirit is perfect and he's not thrown by circumstances, he is in full sympathy with our need. You know, sometimes when you're having a hard time, such as the loss of a loved one, I mean, there's just nothing harder than that. You really don't need to hear a lot of words at that point. Sometimes somebody comes up, tries to comfort you, it's a little hard to take because you're just flat hurting. I think most of us understand that. But you have somebody come up and they just put their arm around you and they just start weeping with you. They don't say a word. They're groaning with you. That's a big blessing because they really care. They love that loved one and they're really touched. They don't know what to say. I'm telling you, if you don't know what to say at a time of a funeral, don't say it, okay? Just love on folks. That's just what they need. Well, that's somewhat of a human illustration, but the Holy Spirit bears our burden. He is our burden bearer. He's willing to take it. Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I don't know how to properly articulate this, but folks, when you truly enter into his presence and you are making prayer center in your life, and you come to the inevitable burdens, things you don't know how to pray, hard decisions to make, some suffering you're going through, whatever it may be, you come to a point in that prayer where the Spirit of God is enabling you, he is teaching you how, what to pray, and then you realize he really does care. I've had, it's not a lot, but I've had several times all of a sudden that hit me and I just burst out into tears praying because I realize he really does care. I mean, he has made that clear. And it's a wonderful thing to know that he is entering in with me. I mean, this is a close, personal time in which we are getting a hold of what God wants, and we're praying and we're believing that God's going to work, and we're going to the throne room, and as we know you, we're united with the Spirit, he's suffering with us, but Jesus is touched. We already know that from Hebrews 4, and I'm telling you, the Father moves. Do you think the Father's moved by the tears of the Son and the groanings of the Spirit? He is. I don't understand all that. I don't want to bring it down too much on a low level, but I think I'm accurate on this, but I think it's far greater than what I'm talking about. Folks, why don't we pray? Why don't we get in that inner chamber and spend that time in which we have the closest of life to us at the deepest and hardest of situations? And then the other aspect is we begin to start groaning too. But we're groaning because we realize the need. And the need is oftentimes now no longer us. We start carrying his burden for others. As we hear, in fact, we understand, you know, the Spirit of God's really burdened and I'm not in the will of God right now. Or I'm not getting this right. Or these needs of people that I'm burdened for are really, they're really important. You know, sometimes it's worth weeping over a lost loved one. It's not artificial. You don't work that up. But the Holy Spirit, as you sense that he's groaning for that burden, then you begin to start having the same heart. And that's supernatural. And I tell you, that's glorious. It's glorious when you can pray with the same heart that the Savior has. Don't we have a wonderful gift of the Spirit? Think about it. But one more point I want to mention here in conclusion, and that is that Spirit prays perfectly for our needs. The more we know Him, the more we know the Word of God, the more we have clarity, and we can be absolutely confident in our prayer time. You've got to walk with Him. And we find here in verse 27, "And he that searcheth the heart," that's the Father, "knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to" what? "The will of God." See, if you're walking with God, it's not, well, if I don't pray in the will of God, it's not going to happen. If I do pray in the will of God, it will happen. That fatalistic perspective is not what this is talking about. This is entering into the reality of where the heart of God is and what is right to pray for. You see, a lot of things that are the will of God don't happen because no one's praying. No one's accessing those things by faith. See, we're entering into the heart of God to see divine work done, because He's waiting till God's people unite with Him to get His burden and then to claim those things, and then God will work. Isn't it wonderful that He partners with us? He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't violate our wills at all, folks. He influences them, but we make the decisions. And that's why prayer is so important. And so there's a perfect unity between the Father and the Spirit. The Comforter came from the Father to manifest the Son. And so let me just say, folks, when Scripture comes alive, you're not forcing something. And the Spirit of God ministers to your heart, and it's clear. The Father knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, which is now your heart and what you're praying, and that's done. Now, God may be working on you. You may need to continue to pray because there's a spiritual battle. But the fact is that the Spirit doesn't ever make a mistake. The issue is we need to know Him. We need to know Him through this book. He authored it. He will illumine it. And as it richly is in our hearts and we get experience in prayer, we'll begin to understand God's mind on this. And I'm telling you, there are times when you know the Father is pleased with how the Spirit has led in prayer, and I know it. And it's not because you have any great knowledge. The Holy Spirit just helped. Everybody here has had some moments of that, where you just know that's how God's led. And therefore, I need to be praying that. And then the Spirit prays according to the Father's will. And when that is our prayer, then the Father is going to accomplish that. One final thought here. I've said this before. We were praying for the land, and we were at a stretch that it seemed so impossible, but I knew that God had worked. And I quote these two verses every morning when I pray, and I came to verse 27, and we had just had a prayer meeting, though we had not seen anything at that moment that was tangible. We had just had a prayer meeting in which God had just worked in a number of hearts. And I remember hearing the voice of the Spirit in those hearts. I mean, it was clear. My heart was lifted. Even though we didn't see anything at that point, the Lord had just made that clear to several. At first, it was more clear to them than it was to me, but my heart was ministered to them by them. And the next day, I was quoting this verse, and I realized, you know, I heard God in those people's prayers. And so if that's the Spirit, He maketh intercession according to the will of God. And I remember it's probably the greatest time of the Lord just ministering to me. At that moment, I realized God just said, "You have this. You believe God and be bold about it." I spoke It's according to all, and of course there were a number of things that we were claiming, and the Word of God had become alive on the certain things, but that made a difference. That's why, folks, it's important, because we can fool ourselves. And in important matters in which you're seeking the will of God, get with people that love the Lord and pray with them for an extended time. And as you labor in prayer for that item or those issues, you will begin to be ministered to by others, and you'll realize the Holy Spirit is working here. And you will receive confidence before you ever have sight. When you have an issue that's hard to know what to do, when you have direction that you need to have, you have a loved one that's in real trouble, you are really facing an impossibility, it's good to discuss those things with God's people that can know how to pray and then pray. The Holy Spirit will work. Now, folks, we have all kinds of thinking and I've only covered part of this. But let me just tell you, the Holy Spirit helpeth us. He does intercede for us. He intercedes for a Christian who's coloring outside the lines. But if you'll keep praying, he'll get you inside the lines. And you'll start seeing more and more clearly God's direction. Listen, he cares so much for you, and he cares so much for his will to be accomplished. Any sincere heart of someone that will not depend upon themselves but depend upon him, he will bring them into a genuine life of prayer if they want to. The only reason we don't have it is that we don't want it, because we've yielded to the flesh. So I encourage you to take this to heart. Folks, there are great things we could pray, we could see victories in our families, in our lives, and in the ministry, and in this community, if we would let the Spirit help us. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you for your good patience here on this message. It's important to get this right. This morning you'd say, Pastor, I'm a believer. And I realize the key to learning how to pray is pray. And I'm not talking about duty, you know that. But you'd say, I am not seeking the Lord as I ought. I've made it a matter of just maybe duty or some kind of time that I put in. But I am very burdened to learn what these verses are talking about and the great inheritance that I have in Christ, and that I can have this kind of relationship. And I want to get past not knowing how to pray as I ought. I want to learn how to pray as I ought. And I know I can't. It's got to be God. But it can't happen unless I pray. It's not going to happen unless I'm in the Word. And you'd say, Pastor, would you pray for me? This God touched my heart today, and it's really not worth living unless I just continue to grow in this matter of prayer. Would you pray for me? With heads bowed, would you just slip your hand up if God's worked in your heart that way? God bless you. I appreciate your sensitive spirit here. Maybe there's someone here and you don't know the Lord. Friend, you have to have the Spirit of God inside your heart if you're going to be able to have that. And that only happens when you trust the Lord. Jesus saves. You're here today and you'd say, Pastor, my heart yearns within me. I don't know for sure if I have eternal life. Friend, if you're trusting religion, rites, religious rites, anything like that, your works, you're not going to get to heaven that way. It's through Jesus Christ. You'd say, you know, I need to understand this. God's working in my heart. Would you pray for me also, Pastor? With heads bowed, would you join these others? Just slip it up till I can see it. I'm burdened in my heart. I'm not certain I've ever settled that, and I'm willing to be honest. Would you pray for me? Just slip it up till I can see it. We'd love to pray for you here this morning. Lord, work in hearts. Would your will be done? Would you be with these that raise the hand? Lord, the battle between Satan and the flesh will be great, but my, the victories that can be won. Lord, we're only Holy Spirit prayer away from having a mighty work of God here and around this country. Now, Lord, I pray that you will work in Christians' hearts to realize that we have everything we need to have victory in prayer. Now, Lord, do that deep work in heart, especially these that ask for it, I pray in Jesus' name, amen.